10 years ago. Third degree burn.
Where have you been for 10 years?
How old do you think I am anyway?
10.
You don't sound like you're 10.
Thank you.
You're stupid underclassmen. I've got the edge. Look at you. You're an old man.
It's not the years. It's the mileage. I'm too old for this.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Third Degree Burn. This is a very special episode, ladies and gentlemen, because this is the 10-year Third Degree Burn extravaganza get-together.
Woo-hoo!
Right here in Fort Worth, Texas. My name is Brian Hughes, and I am here at a round table in person with my good friend Tim Elliott.
Hello.
With Nigel Spink.
Hello.
With Fred West.
Hello.
And John Hyatt.
Hey, everyone.
And we miss Kirk, we miss David, we miss Christopher, who's in the other room talking to his girlfriend. But late, I got to tell you, we've just had a really great week. Now, Tim just got here today, and we're so glad we were able to get together and record and show him what we've been doing. But the rest of us, for most of this week, have been doing a comic shop crawl.
Yeah,
we've been going from store to comic book shop to comic book shop. Here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, where we've got the largest selection of comic book shops anywhere.
I have never seen so many comic book shops concentrated in one area.
Yeah, and we've only gotten to like half of them.
You just keep like, oh, there's one over here, there's one there. It's like, what? Wow.
And we've only hit Fort Worth. We didn't even go near Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, as far as we got in between there in like Hercules, Bedford. And there have been some really great, great shops. Of course, we stopped at the ones that we know so very well, Collected. The 181.
Generation X.
Generation X.
D20.
And there's just so many others that, and almost all of them had back issues.
Yeah.
And Nigel's got a checklist with him. And for those of you that don't know, Nigel is, of course, British, but he lives in Japan. This is his very first time to come to the United States. I think, actually, you'd been in an airport once.
Yeah, just in L.A. for a
But this is really the first time that you've set foot outside, tried American cuisines.
Yes,
and,
that's right.
And yes, we took him to Bucky's, too.
Yes, we took him to Bucky's. Had to take him there. Today was his first time to try a Whataburger, too.
Nice. And very nice it was.
And root beer.
Delicious.
And he's discovered root beer.
Yeah, and I like root beer.
And cornbread.
And I did catch him on the floor today, digging through a comic bin. it's just so funny. You come around the corner, there's someone stretched out, got his arm elbow deep in the bin.
That was
quite fun. I mean, just all of us have done this, you know, on our own. But it's just a really great week to experience all that. Nigel, do you have any aspect of this trip this week that you want to bring up or, you know, tell the listeners about?
Well, yeah. I mean, as you say, it's my first time to be in America, experiencing what it's like on a day-to-day basis. And, so far I just realized everything is so big. The amounts of food, the size of the stores and the malls and everything. They're just like so much bigger than anything I've ever seen in Britain or in Japan. Yeah.
When he first got to the house and I was giving him a tour around, I'd opened the back door to where the pool is and he thought it was the loo. And he's like, how do you flush that? I'm kidding.
Yeah. So, just taking it all in, and I didn't realize how sort of spread out the city is. I mean, we've been traveling around, as you say, to the different shops, but whereas I envisaged because of the amount of shops you said there would be, and they're all sort of fairly close together, I thought, oh, so we'll probably be like just 10 minutes between each shop from here to there. But no, we've been traveling sometimes for like half an hour or more to get from one to another. So it's amazing the size of the highways and how far you're actually traveling, but yet you're still in the same town or city. Yeah.
And somehow is able to drive you around this place in rush hour traffic and not kill you. Though it hasn't.
It came close today.
Came close.
A
couple times.
We nearly had Pontiac or something coming in with us, yeah. and then he cut Brian up as well, yeah.
Honked at me. I think he got the finger, but yeah. I kind of deserve it, but at the same time, I didn't see him. Mm-hmm. So, and we also stopped at Ollie's, which of course is like an outlet store, but we really didn't find anything. I mean, Chris found stuff he wanted to get a Rorschach book, but they just didn't have anything in the selection that grabbed anyone here. Still, it was an experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else? Any of the food that it surprised you, or like when we ate at Bucky's, you got a Philly cheesesteak burrito.
Oh yeah. Oh. Yeah. I chose a Philly burrito, as you say.
No barbecue?
Not yet.
No, just because I don't know. I was just looking at the different packaged things and I thought this looks nice, you know, and I don't think I've had a proper burrito before. So I thought,
you're going to have to get him a proper burrito tomorrow.
Yeah, now that he says it, you do have to take
him. So I just chose that, and it turned out to be very nice, very tasty. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Okay, now, John and Fred, you both came, you drove cross country from San Diego.
Yeah.
And so did you have any experiences that really were crazy? I mean, tonight's your last night. You don't get to join us at the Dallas Fan Expo. I really regret that we just couldn't stretch it. But I understand you guys got to get back home.
Yeah.
But did you have any experiences on the trip that were unusual, funny, crazy? Did people try to grab you at the El Paso border?
We drove through Albuquerque and we made the left turn at Albuquerque and wound up at the right location.
That's a
good sign.
Yeah.
Had a joy driving across. And first Buc-ee's we see when we cross the Texas state line, we got to pull in here, kind of thing, and see the wonders of Buc-ee's.
Okay, now, just for the listeners that are not in Texas or other areas,
in the South, yeah.
Buc-ee's is like the world's largest, most ridiculous convenience store ever made.
Truck stop convenience store.
It even has the cleanest bathrooms and actual showers there that you can use.
100 pumps.
Hmm?
100 gas pumps.
Oh, yeah, over 100 gas pumps. It's incredibly large. You walk in there, there are rows of bulk candy, soft drinks, all sorts of food and chips, but they've also got stuff they make in-house. Chopped brisket sandwiches, sliced brisket.
Kolaches.
Really good stuff.
Fudge. Yeah. They got, 15 types of fudge?
At least, yeah.
A clothing line. I mean, Buc-ee's, you...
Beef jerky for days.
Yes. You go in there expecting to spend $10 and you walk away going, where's all my money?
It's
an experience. I think if you're any place where there is a Buc-ee's and you've not been, just go in for the experience.
$100. That's probably about the average of what people spend.
Yeah.
It's
fun. It's a hoot. And you got to do it. You got to have that experience.
So the best part is, Fred and I have met Tim in person before. Mm-hmm. We've been to Vegas, and he's been down to San Diego and with his wife. But to meet Nigel and Brian in person after talking to them all these years via, online type stuff. Skype is what we used to use. So, it's really cool to meet in person. And, of course, we miss Kirk and David. But, it's just great. And then seeing all these shops, flipping through books and going, I finally found a Jocasta action figure at a price that I price point I'm willing to pay.
That's
great. Even though it's not in a box, I don't care. I get to have that. But seeing some other cool things and meeting the folks around these shops. Running these shops is really great.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to Ron Killingsworth and Brent Irwin. They're the owners of the Collected stores, and they really made us feel welcome.
They did.
They gave us special discounts. They basically, it was like the more you spend, the less you pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it worked out very nice for all of us, and I really appreciate that. Wasn't there another store that gave us a deal or something? I forget. Or was that the only one?
I think that was the only one. They're really good folks there. Yeah. And, you know, the store was clean and so organized, well organized. If you needed, a certain book, I mean, they have their, even the sections within the title are organized out, so you don't have to hunt and peck too much. I mean, if you want a giant size, they have a giant size section for them, and just really well done, and a variety of stuff, game stuff. We found some game expansions to a board game we like to play there that we didn't even know about. And
excellent.
You know, Robo Rally, you know, it's like, what? This is great. So turns our game into two more new games. So it's really cool.
Is that the store that helped Nigel find his book?
No.
Yeah, well, I guess we have to talk about that.
The one you're talking about is the store where I pretty much picked up all of the Superman and action comics that I've been looking for. They had just about everything I wanted.
They had a massive selection.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
And, but then when we got to Gen X,
yes.
you'd found that the X-Men, was it 94?
X-Men Volume 2, 94.
94. Yeah. And there's a significance to that I wasn't even aware of till today. Mm. You want to explain that?
Yeah, well, as I explained on X-Men The Hidden Years podcast as well, when we did the first show, that there was like a 10-page, call it like a prologue, which was also in that issue, drawn by Byrne and Tom Palmer, the same team that do the X-Men The Hidden Years. And that was a sort of added addition to the first story, and I'd been looking for that, and I found it. They just had the one, and so I pulled that out of the drawer, and then I started looking for something else. And while I'm looking through the drawers, and then suddenly I was aware that instead of having two comics in my hand, I'd only got one. I'd lost one somewhere. I'd lost my X-Men.
The way they got these put in is like filing cabinets of the long boxes. And, you know, they're all lettered for what the book is supposed to be. So we're just trying to sit there and go, where were you at last?
Yeah, trying and to we're looking at all the cabinets.
Through all the books trying to find it.
The store manager was about ready to start reviewing the security cases. they were very helpful.
And you, was it
John found it? Yeah. Went back to the, I'd been just before I'd been in Spider-Man. And I was looking, but I didn't find anything. And then I put them down, and then I just shut the drawer.
So it was on top of the stack.
Fortunately on top of the stack, not refiled somewhere.
I was sure, I didn't sure refile it, but yeah, it was just laid on top. Yeah. But I never noticed that I'd done that.
But found.
So that was good, because it was the only one in it. I was just thinking, what if somebody's found it and thought they wanted it as well? They beat me to it.
But it's been great, you know, 10 years of doing the show, you guys. Thanks for starting it. I mean,
I'm put that on you, Brian. You're the one that had the idea and approached me, and we met at a
IHOP.
Yeah, we had breakfast and kind of talked about, well, what do you want to do? We can do this, do that.
Yeah.
I would have done it on my own. So you know, I may be the co-founder, but you're the founder.
Thanks. But, you know, it's so funny. I'll say this. When I first met Tim, I mean, I've been listening to Back to the Bins and other shows on the Two True Freaks Network. And Tim and I were both writing in to the show and telling them what they were doing wrong. So I just reached out to him on Facebook and said, hey, do you have an interest in this? And so we met up at this IHOP, And it was just like, it's the moment we met, it was just like two old friends getting together, picking up in the middle of a conversation. And I noticed that also when John and Fred got here, and Nigel, it was just so easy to talk to these guys, even though I'd never seen them face to face. It's just like, it's always like old friends. And we find that, you know, not just with each other, but it seems a lot of the stores that we go to, there are other people that are just able to jump into those conversations. And I mean, that's part of what we do all this for.
So let me ask you guys, out of the 10 years, what has been a highlight for each of you? Either a book or something that you've done together, or what's a highlight of the 10 years that you've been doing this?
Well, for our show, I'm going to say, I think probably the one that I had the most fun was OMAC.
Yeah, OMAC's a really, really good one. God, like, you know, I'll tell you, it's not a show that we recorded. It is the first time I walked up to John Byrne at the Dallas Fan Expo, and was it 2018. I walked up to him, and I printed out this thing from his website for my name tag. And he goes, "Oh, you're Brian Hughes." And I was like, he actually remembered my name. And I was just, that was cool. Because he has listened to our show. He hasn't always thought we knew what we were talking about, especially the World War One flying ace story.
That's what he commented on. But yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, he has listened to us. And that's actually.
He hasn't condemned us. So.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, that's good.
And he was very kind to me. And he talked to me for a while, even though my son kept trying to talk to him and correct what he was saying. So, that was very rewarding. But just, you know, meeting all you guys, meeting Kurt, you know, talking with Kurt, talking with David, and everybody else we've had on the show, that Fantastic Four roundtable we did with Sean Engel, and we had Andrew Leyland, Gene Hendricks.
Andy just showed up on that one. He just dialed in.
And then we did the She-Hulk show with Dave Elliott.
Yeah.
And all the times Frank Canepa showed up when we did that Fantastic Four fan fiction that Byrne did.
And we did a couple live reactions after. I think we did Aquaman.
Aquaman was with Mike Carlisle and Frank Canepa and my wife, Beth. And
Batman. And you brought Chris onto the show a few times, which has been great.
First time he was on the show,
he's like kind of grown up on the show.
Yeah, he was like 9 years old the first time we had him on.
So that's been cool. I mean, he's brought a really cool perspective to the artwork that we grew up with and read as kids, young people his age. Now he's bringing he can share with us his perspective here 40 years later after some of those things, or 20. So it's kind of cool to see that.
That was another fun aspect of this week, is we've been going to the various stores. Chris has just been as active with us picking out books, talking about things, talking about the history. Mm-hmm. And when he's sitting there and I'll hear him say something I don't know, I'm like, ooh, that's really cool. And then he'll parrot something I said. And that makes me real proud. Yeah. And for those that don't know, last Saturday, Christopher graduated high school. So he's finished that. He's going to film school at UNT in the fall.
Hooray.
And we're all so proud of him.
Yeah, we are. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, so what are a couple of things that you two might like to see as we move forward to the next 10 years, if we survive that long?
Well, you know, there's things that, and I don't know why we haven't covered them, but, you know, things that would be interesting to cover. Generations, first and foremost. I definitely want to cover that. I think it deserves special
series?
Coverage.
All three series?
Eventually, yeah.
Okay.
But obviously, we got to start with one.
Yeah.
Then Marvel, The Lost Generation, because someone was asking about it this week on the Genius of John Byrne forum.
Okay.
And I've just been like, why haven't we covered that?
I have not read that, so I'm interested to read that and be able to cover it too. Yeah.
And there's still so much more. You know, there's so much in New Visions, the Fumetti books. There's so much that
I like to get back into some of his Star Trek stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Blood of the Demon, Wonder Woman. You know, we covered a little bit of Wonder Woman, but there's so much meat in there as far as DC history.
Yeah, yeah.
That's worth getting into.
And Flygenal and I are going to continue on with season 2 of X-Men Hidden Years.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. So we'll get that completed here, which is cool.
Yeah. More Alpha Flight.
Yeah, more Alpha Flight. We're kind of getting to the juicy part of Alpha Flight.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's going
to get to cover some more, and I kind of talked about Kirk with this, because we Kirk and I covered Namor.
Yeah, a great job at that, too. That was fun to listen to.
And that kind of ties in a little bit, because he was writing Iron Man at the same time. And I said, we should cover, because all he was doing was writer on that. We should cover those issues. And I originally talked about doing it with Luke Giaconetti, because Luke Giaconetti is a huge Iron Man fan, and he said he'd do it. But cover more of Byrne stuff where he's just the writer. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. is it, you know, did he do a JLA run that he just wrote, he didn't draw?
No, not JLA.
What am I thinking of? Something he did.
Because Claremont wrote the one. There's two JLA runs that he was on. One written by Claremont and one written by Roger Stern.
Yeah.
And as far as what he's written, but there's a run on the Hulk with Ron Garney.
And maybe that's what I'm thinking about.
That he
he's
wrote.
Just the writer. He's just writer on.
And well, I say he's just a writer, but it's really he had a lot of intro and stuff, like a one-page intro, because when at the time Marvel was always including that in the beginnings of the book,
the back of those covers, yeah.
And so like they had origins and stuff like that, and Byrne would do that. But again, you also had where Ron Garney was doing the artwork, and I always wanted to.
He also wrote The Thing.
Yeah, The Thing.
Yes, yeah.
Ron Wilson doing almost all of the art chores there.
So what are some of the format, what's a favorite format? Either single issue story, like 2 to 3 issue story, or doing a run like you have been recently with Alpha Flight, like we did with Elsewhen, you know, covering large blocks. What do you think is more of a favorite way that you like to do it?
We started out just doing it was random. We're going to pick an issue and just do it.
Yep.
I think I've kind of grown to like we did Namor, like we're doing with Alpha Flight, like you guys are doing with, like we did with Elsewhen,
mm-hmm.
like you guys are doing with Lost Years, where you cover it.
It's more
of an index show.
Yeah.
Because you do get to, when you read them like that, you get to kind of see the progression
mm-hmm.
of the artwork, the writing, the story, and how things go instead of just picking some random. So I like that. And doing the 2 issues at a time. I think that helps. Because we were doing 1 issue and we just spent two, 3 hours on an issue.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you can always do that. I kind of like to mix it up. I kind of like, you know, do some index and then maybe pick one in the middle. It's like what we did the Fantastic Four Tear in a Tiny Town recently. Yeah. Just thrown in the middle.
Mm.
And that was greatness. And, you know, the little thing we did tonight was also a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm having fun, you know, as long as we mix it up, as long as we have a good time. Yeah. And, you know, sadly, not everybody can always participate every time.
I think that is when working, because Nigel and John are teamed up. I teamed up with Kirk. Mm-hmm. You know, you teamed up with Chris to do the Many Faces of Batman.
Many Deaths of the Batman.
You know,
yeah.
The Many Deaths. So doesn't have to be all 6 or 5 of us at a time, because we're across 2 continents and
time zones.
It's hard to coordinate all that.
Yeah.
So if like, you know, you say, oh, I'm gonna do something with Chris, or maybe Fred and John would do a book, you know, or you a couple of times you did stuff with David
and Kirk. Yeah. Kirk and I covered it was a completely non-burn book. We had a lot of fun doing that.
And that's the thing, it can be, you know, we don't have to do a burn book. We can do
nothing wrong with a sideburn.
That's right, sideburns. That's
we can
really
do
cool.
Burn inspired. We can do burn like. Burn adjacent. Yeah. You know,
afterburn.
Afterburn. Mm-hmm. You know, we can do anything that we can do whatever we want. It's our show.
Yeah. Now, was it you that picked up the Hulk? Oh no, the Alpha Flight that was after. Was it Alpha Flight 29 today, or was that?
Yeah. The other day, I picked up number 29, the first issue that Byrne didn't draw. Yeah.
And that was...
Just because...
To finish the story.
It finishes the story, because otherwise it ends where the Hulk comes crashing out of the... and starts fighting with Box. And I thought, well, I'll get the next part just to finish off the story. Yeah. So... Yeah.
Excellent. Well, another fun thing has been the cocktails and comics that we started during the pandemic with David, and and it's continued on, which has been a fun way to kind of get into the pop culture side of things and just talk geek out a little bit more.
Do you remember the first episode of Cocktails and Comics?
Not specifically. Why?
That was right after January 6th, wasn't it?
Was it?
Well, wasn't that right after January 6th? The funny thing is, I can't find it now. And I don't remember.
I've got it, but I don't remember.
You've got it, yeah.
I've got it, I don't remember what.
But I think that was when David was very vocal on that one.
Mm-hmm. But that's been fun to be able to kind of talk about those fun other things that were.
Because they can really be about anything.
Yeah. And we have a good time bringing in, especially about the animation and the sci-fi stuff that we're watching. And that's always been a good time.
And thanks to this get together this weekend, I've got to introduce everybody to the chaladas that I've been drinking. So they can add that to their Cocktails and Comics repertoire.
There we go. Yeah. If they're available where we are. So we have to look for them.
Those are really
good. Yeah. Those are fun. Cause we'll have FF is coming up.
Yes. Yes.
And that's a big movie for Marvel and for everything.
Yeah. Superman.
Superman coming out.
And, we'll probably cover both of those.
Mm. You know.
Yeah, because Chris is really going to want to cover both of those as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, those are going to be rebooting the cinematic universes in a way. So that'll be good.
Yeah, in both ways. Yeah, because Superman is going to try to restart DC, and then FF is hopefully going to revitalize the MCU and see how they slot in. So that's gonna be interesting. That's what's great about Cocktails and Comics is gonna be about, we did the one where me, you, and Kurt, and were you and Nigel? Yeah, we did a game show. We did Comic Book Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you want to do the game live on mic? Your quiz show or what was it? No, I'm sorry.
My quiz. I was talking to you about that earlier. Yeah.
Did you want to do that here on mic? See how bad we are, to let all our friends know?
Yeah. Oh, I can't do it tonight.
Not tonight, but, if
something to look forward to for the weekend.
We can do that.
Okay, well, do we want to wrap this up then?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Again, 10 years. I can't believe that we've made it this far. Most podcasts fade. And if anything, we've picked up more speed, especially during the pandemic when we went to almost a weekly weekly mode. And we're not quite weekly now, but we're holding up pretty well.
We kind of settled into a 2-week. I try to do
twice monthly,
And that's manageable because we all have lives and jobs.
Yeah.
To do, record. To peel the curtain back, we tend to record on Sunday, Monday for Nigel, and then that gets released 2 weeks later. So we record in between releasing. So we kind of sub into that.
Thank you for editing so much in the last year.
That's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work.
I've got it kind of down pat.
And now we're trying to figure a way around recording because we were one of those groups that always used Skype. And so now we're trying Teams and other things. I may look into WebEx or what's the other one? Zoom?
Zoom, but I think it has a limit. I think most of the free ones are limiting how long you can record.
Yeah. Right.
Now, Teams, I don't know, you can buy a subscription to Teams. I think it's about $10 a month.
You can do that the other ones as well.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I know Spitaro is using StreamYard.
But just really, it's something I've enjoyed and it's given me something to do. And I mean, I don't know how this affects you guys out there, but one of the things that it does for me, and the guys here can tell when we're talking face to face, really keeps me sharp. It keeps my mind going. And, it's like I always worry, as I get older that maybe I'm going to start just losing it all. And for some reason, being in each other's presence has actually made that better for me than when we're just on the microphone and I'm trying to remember an issue or a character name or something. But this has really helped me, stay sharp, and I really appreciate y'all coming out here.
Yeah.
I've been dying to do something like this for years, and of course I wasn't going to be able to do it till we got into this house. So, and as Kurt calls it, it's the X-Mansion. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, and thanks to creating these awesome 10-year anniversary shirts for cool.
I'm kind of curious. I know that QR code in the back works.
It does work. I already tried it, So, and I'll be wearing it around San Diego Comic-Con in July. So
there you go. Free advertising.
That's right.
So if you see the logo at San Diego Comic-Con, come up and say hi to him.
And scan it.
Scan it. Scan it. Well, they're already listening to us.
I know.
Get other people to scan it. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for putting this on. This is awesome. Talk about one of our favorite artists and writers, you know, John Byrne.
We just talk about comics in general.
And comics in general. Absolutely. Yeah. So a lot of great stuff. And it's great to be part of the Two True Freaks Network.
A big thank you to Scott Gardner and Chris Honeywell for welcoming us on board. Also, a thank you to Gene Hendricks, who's helped out everything on X, formerly Twitter.
He is,
Trentis Magnus for welcoming us into the fold. Just everybody there has been really, really wonderful to us.
It's been a
Andrew Ayland.
And we,
Paul Spataro.
We talked about this, I think, off camera or off mic about you. You think you about how easy you fall in with people,
right?
And when I had the chance to meet Andy at Orlando for a little meetup there, we walked around Disneyland and we were just waiting for the fireworks to start and we went to get a soda or something. And I was just talking to him and like, I've never met him before, but I've heard him so often. I said, I feel like I know you because I've listened to you for so long. And you just feel naturally like you just know somebody.
But if we couldn't have done this without them, that's for sure. Especially Scott Gardner, we have to thank for giving us our name.
That's true.
Believe me, we went for weeks trying to figure out what to call this
show. What were some of the alternate names? Do you remember what you were kind of thinking of? What were your
burnouts?
We didn't actually think to that. I thought the idea of Torchbearers, but I thought that might be too subtle.
Uh-huh. I was like, flame on? You know, there were so many different things that we sat there and threw out, and it got to the point where we were throwing out jokes, and then Scott Gardner just threw out Third Degree Burn.
It
was like when they came up with the name of the B-sharps on The Simpsons.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was just perfect, and it made you laugh a little bit, and you saw a double meaning, and just everything was right there, made so much sense, and it just,
That's why it's fun that our side shows are called Sideburns, so that's awesome. And the logo's great, and you designed that, right, Tim? You created the logo?
I did the logo,
The logo's really super awesome, so it's perfect.
And I think I'm taking the way I've got it now with the flame just coming out of the top of the box instead of curling around the sign.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. I think when I start, I'm going to start using it as a regular logo. Mm-hmm. I'm going to update it.
Excellent.
It fits better. I won't have the 10 years on it, but it fits better.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we can wrap this up right now, guys. We've been trying to wrap it up for a little bit. But, you know, everyone, once again, around the room, give your name, say goodbye, say thank you.
Goodbye.
Thanks. Tim Elliott. Nigel?
Yes, goodbye, everyone, for now. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the days here. It's been great.
Fred?
Hey, goodbye, everyone. Have a great time.
And John.
Everyone, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.
And for Third Degree Burn, I'm Brian Hughes. Good night. Have a pleasant tomorrow. Don't die soon.
Oh, it's Scott's face so hard to say goodbye. I love you all, too. Goodbye, Tin Man. Oh, don't cry. You'll rust so dreadfully. Here's your oil can. Goodbye.
Now I know I've got a heart, because it's breaking.
Goodbye, Lion. You know it isn't right, but I'm going to miss the way you used to holler for help before you found your courage.
I would never have found it if it hadn't been for you.
I'll miss you most of all.
Brian Hughes.
Are you ready now?
Yes.
Say goodbye, Toto.
for listening. You can find us and many other great shows at tutufreaks.com. That's TWOTRUEFREAKS.com. Third Degree Burn is spelled with the number 3, RDDEGREEBYRNE, and is part of the Tutu Freaks network of shows. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Third Degree Burn, spelled with the number 3, and Burn spelled BYRNE. Compliments, complaints, and recipes can be sent to gottagetburned@gmail.com. That's GOTTAGETBYRNED@gmail.com. Drop us a line and tell us how we're doing. Till next time, this has been Third Degree Burn.
Some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.